Hey, I'm Ricky Ullman, and you're watching Disney Channel.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
It's been a while, my friend.
Oh, it's been so long.
Welcome back to Disney Channel Original Groupies. I am Jackie.
I'm Rebecca.
And how was your vacay?
It was so much fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I did like a full Lizzie McGuire movie Roman experience.
Oh, wow.
Going in the Trevi Fountain.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, but Gordo didn't kiss me, though.
But you know this, probably. Fun fact, our roommate of the podcast, Kira's cousin, is Paolo.
It's such like a major...
He's
fact
Jewish.
In my
He's
life.
Not Italian, in case his really good accent. Hope you guys can hear us properly. Today we are doing a special recording edition on SingStar microphones.
Which I have to say is just like so fitting for this movie.
It is actually super fitting. So we are Disney Channel Original Groupies, and our podcast just goes through the whole list of every Disney Channel original movie that has come out ever.
Entirely out of order and with like very little.
It's kind of just like, oh, what do we feel like doing this week?
Yeah, it goes exactly like that. As soon as we turn it off, we both go, ah, what do I feel?
What are we going to do? This is also a very exciting episode because this, well, it's sad. This is our last time recording in the same room because then we're going to become long distance podcasters.
No, I feel really weird about it.
Rebecca's moving to New York because she's a genius and got into NYU. So, snaps for Rebecca.
I'm snapping for myself.
Yeah, so we're gonna need to figure out how to record this remotely, but we will.
We are gonna find a way.
Fear not, fans.
It's gonna stop for nothing. I'm trying to figure out. So if this ep is coming out on the 30th, then 2 weeks from the 30th is either like the 14th or 15th.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we could totally... Wait, no. 14th and 15th is a weekend. I don't know what I'm saying.
Or we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're just going to figure it out.
We're going to stick to our regular schedule, hopefully. And, well, don't fear not. We'll be serving up all that DCOM goodness for y'all.
Also, like, people at home, don't be freaked out, but I'm about to, like, boost up the gain on this, and you guys can turn your, like, volume down accordingly. This is so unprofessional.
Oh my God!
What she's doing? Well, behind
the scenes,
fancy tricks in Europe, gain and
wow,
loss. Already, this is picking up way more. Oh, this is like.
Do you want to restart?
We're rolling now. No, it's fine.
Okay.
Everyone, just like turn your notch down, like one, okay, two cool. Notches. You'll live.
All right. So what's going on in Disney Channel news this week?
Okay, well, you brought this one to my attention.
This one is so funny.
I will say in advance, should we say what the movie is this week?
Okay, spoiler alert once again, even though it's in the title. We do this every time.
You don't know if people are just like binging through and not
right,
even
you
checking.
Never know.
On their seventh hour of decog.
You never know.
But we're doing Pixel Perfect.
I'm so excited to dissect this goodness.
I'm really, and this is a very dissectable one. But anyway, dissectable. It stars Ricky Ullman, Phil of the Future himself.
Now Raviv, thank you very much.
Now, and originally Raviv. I was saying, I remember reading like a Disney Adventures magazine, or maybe it was J14. It was probably Disney Adventures.
One of
I was
the
a
same.
Loser. That like mentioned that his real name is Raviv, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's Israeli, right? So maybe he changed it to Ricky to like be American when he was Phil.
I think that's it. Because Phil. I've never met a Jewish Phil.
I've never met one. I've never met a Jewish Ricky.
That's true. So there you go.
Yeah.
Or a Jewish Pim. Remember his sister was Pim on that show?
Right, but she definitely seemed Jewish.
Did she?
Did she not?
Okay. I don't know. She was very, like, blonde,
whatever.
But she was very, like,
yeah,
loud. I'm going to stop. I don't want to, like, go.
Anyway.
Anyway.
We're Jewish, everyone.
So it's
it's fine.
All fine.
Anyway, he's in the news this week.
He is, because he posted to his Insta, DJ Gramps, a photo of him with beautiful 07 hair, like he's doing a full Chemical Romance.
Oh my God, I loved how in 07 everyone's hair had to be long to be cool. It just gives us great things to look back on.
There are so many like excellent school photos over the year of like my brothers were really like victims of the hair crimes of the
for
decade.
For sure, for sure.
Anyway, it's a picture of him kissing Kim Kardashian.
Literally Kim.
The first lady herself.
Yeah, I saw that come out. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's funny because Kim now is royalty. Like, there's nobody more famous that I can think of, like, or current. Like, she's just
except
everything.
For literally the president.
Yeah. And so in this Instagram, they're kissing. And
they're
it's
kissing
so funny.
On the lips. They're holding microphones. It's awkward and cute. It's
check it out on his Insta at DJ Gramps.
I'll read the caption quickly.
Dramatic pause.
As the world burns, oy, here's an insane throwback from 2007 where I played a douchey VJ with awful sideburns for MTV and at Kim Kardashian played my girlfriend. Okay. And then he goes on, Ellie Kemper played my boss and Adam Pally was hilarious in it. The shit you find on hard drives, pixel perfect, Matt. But apparently he had a different ending that he edited.
He edited it because the first time I saw this, like a week ago, he had something that was like hashtag Kanye got my sloppy seconds. And the internet was like, whoa, yay, Ricky, Raviv.
Yeah, know your place, Ricky.
Also, you pointed out, which was so funny, like, in 07, him and Kim Kardashian were at the same level of fame.
That was like...
Remember when Kim Kardashian was in Fall Out Boy's music video of Thanks for the Memories and she has to kiss a monkey? Does anyone remember this?
Not until now.
It was great. Anyway.
She's been hustling for a long time.
Yeah, so I thought that was a great thing. And then, other Disney news... Raviv's Phil of the Future co-star, Ally Michalka, of Ally and AJ, obviously, they have a new song. So it's not new. It, like, leaked in May, I want to say.
You were telling me about it.
And then it we leaked to Spotify, but then they took it down. But now it's back up for good, and it's such a good song.
We're going to play a tiny bit right now.
Okay, right here. It is so good. It has such, like, 80s vibes, I want to say.
Yeah, but it also sounds, like, definitely of this moment. 80s vibes and, like, a How Lord has 80s vibes.
Right. It's just, like, really good. Bless you.
Sorry about that.
yeah, I'm so proud of them. Like, I hope this gets them back on the road. Just the fact that they're still together as a band.
I mean, it helps that they're sisters.
Right. You're absolutely correct.
But also, like, still, that's like, you know, Ally and AJ, most of these acts are very of the moment. They come and go through.
Just
the
fact that they're not, I guess what I meant is, like, the fact that they're not now contractually obligated by Disney to produce something, and they're doing it because they just love music. That makes me happy. Like, they used to have that butterfly guitar. I wanted that butterfly guitar. It was so sick. Obviously, potential breakup song was an anthem. Were you a fan of Like Whoa? I was really a fan of Like Whoa.
Yes, I was.
It was a really good song. Anyway, so really happy about this news.
Yeah. And should we just, like, go into...
We should. Let's play some Like Whoa here as a
fan. Up and down and side to side. Every inch of me is like whoa.
So we're going to deep dive now into the confusion, the technical drama.
Like existential dread.
It actually is full of, misogyny and love and war.
Asking the big questions, questions that have only become more relevant in the time since it came out, 04. And you hadn't seen this one.
I had actually never seen it, which is surprising.
And this was, like, I was really pushing this one because...
You were.
In my memory of, like, kind of pre-High School Musical, which was my drop-off point, for the most part, for DCOMs.
Right, not for me, though.
This was my singular favorite. This was... I also liked Halloween Town 3, but this was, like... my absolute favorite, but I hadn't seen it since however long.
Right.
It helped that I had, like, I was very big into Ricky Allman.
I had a poster of him. I thought he was so good looking.
I thought he was so cute.
And now looking back on, like, what I thought was attractive when I was 12, I'm like, oh, yikes.
He's good looking now, though.
He's super good looking now. Ricky, if you're listening, sorry, Raviv, so sorry. Good for you.
Yeah. Good on ya.
Good on you. Good on your jeans.
Yeah, so I had seen it, and, like, looking back, I will say, like, I feel like I was... I'm kind of weirded out by 10-year-old me that this was, like, my favorite and the one I loved, but I'm also kind of like, okay, I see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess we should just go right into describing the madness.
So Ricky plays this character named Roscoe, because...
Sure.
Like, okay. And we open this on him... in, like, a lab. It looks like a weird, like, computer lab.
Yeah, it's like his home office, but his home is Silicon Valley, modern mansion,
et cetera. It's a mansion.
Yeah, it's, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, I, for a while, thought that this was filmed where High School Musical was filmed, because it was a lot of a similar
Albuquerque,
type of
New Mexico.
Yes, but later on in the movie... what was his name? D-Fib at yes. Colorado Plates.
Okay, so this is in the booming tech sector of Colorado.
I guess.
So he's reopened on him on his room, and he's casually Skyping his best female friend, Sam, while being like, he was like, oh, I made you a present. And he made a cat who's a hologram.
Yeah.
He just made a cat.
The crazy thing is, like, she seems so unfazed by it. She's, like, more freaked out when she thinks it's a real cat, and then suddenly there's this hologram, like, meow meow cat, and this isn't just like a one of those postcards that or placemats where you move it and you see the image move. This is like a hologram that's moving around. You can change the colors.
He can do anything. And then the cat walks outside and disappears because this is the first time we learn holograms can't go outside.
No, that is their fatal flaw.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so she's like, oh, this cat. Anyway, so we find out that his dad's job is he develops holographic technology, and he's a big name in it.
Yeah.
For
a company called Skygraph, and his son can just, like, magically produce the most advanced shit you've ever
seen. Yeah, like, why not?
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you found this, but, like, the first scenes I found so fast-paced, I literally couldn't figure out what was going on.
They're throwing us right into it.
They just didn't give us any second to ease into it.
So, after establishing, like, friend named Samantha can make a holographic cat that can, like, think for itself and chase after a bird and go outside. Holograms can't go outside. His dad is the hologram king. Like, five things at once. Then we cut to an 18 and under club. Like, boom, like,
oh,
it's nothing.
Oh, my God. Okay, so now they're at a music... Okay, so now his friend Sam and her group of... Her girl squad, who's a band, are auditioning for an all-ages club to a pedophile.
Okay, we need to just, like...
have a breakdown.
Lay this out up front, because this is a man who runs a club in what looks like it was clearly just a lot on the set that they put a poster on the door.
Absolutely,
like, it was
and
full
they made
filming
a tiki
lot.
Themed or whatever.
And he runs a nightclub for children where he auditions, like, girl groups and says, like, you gotta be more Britney.
So he's auditioning them. They're good, but he turns them down because he says, like, you need a dance. You need to have dancing, because, like, I guess this is early through 2000, sure.
Right.
They get rejected, and then another group auditions for him, and they start doing, like, little choreographed dance routines, and he looks so turned on. It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
So
and they're doing
weird.
Full Three Boys from Smart House at the school house party dance, like,
so
choreography,
weird.
And he is loving it.
Oh my God, that was the creepiest thing ever.
Yeah, it's very gross. My computer might have just froze for a second, but it's definitely unfrozen now. Where's Roscoe when you need him?
Oh my God.
Right, so they're auditioning for the scariest club in the world.
Oh, and then he makes her, like, stop singing and trying to dance. Like, he makes Sam do this. And we're just like, what?
I do want to say, though, like, already the song is, like, wait, did they do this? Yeah, they do their Zetabyte song.
Their band is called the Zetabytes, and sorry, the rivalry band that does the dancing is called the Moist Towelettes.
I loved that, and also that he started by calling them the Moist, he called them Moist Toilet.
Yeah. But, like, what? I know you have to, like, weird teenage band names, but the Moist Towelettes and the Zetabytes.
Yeah, there's something very quirky going on in this movie
it's
with,
so
like,
strange.
The band names that sneak in.
Yeah.
So there's the Moist Towelettes, and then the Zetabytes play, and they are serving some, like, Josie and the Pussycats live action film. Like,
oh my God.
Realness. I loved it. And I remembered, like, oh yeah, the songs from this movie, like, were my fave.
They're really good. They're so bad at lip syncing, it's not even funny. This girl is playing guitar and, like, she's changing her hands, like, on chords, and, like, the chords aren't changing. Like, it's, they don't even try.
Man, you got
the voice
try.
Sounds like a 40-year-old woman's voice.
Yeah, it does.
They didn't do, like, a young thing. Because this is before, when you were a Disney Channel star, you had to be a triple threat. Like,
right.
If this was current day, they would, A, make that girl be able to sing in real life. B, make her release an album afterwards. And, like, make her into a thing. Like, you just didn't have a choice back. You don't have a choice now. Back then, you had freedom.
And considering that, like, these songs were, like, made with a certain level of, like, quality. They're all pretty good and well thought out, and they're, like, fun. And it was a different, like, angle for Disney girls to be doing. They were kind of like, you know, she's, like, Samantha's mm-hmm. bedroom is a shrine to Avril.
Oh,
like,
my God. She has like, 5 Avril Lavigne posters. That's their, like, cultural drop-in.
Like, it would have been, like, that would have been a cool thing for them to develop. Like, not the Zetabytes themselves, but maybe, like,
yeah.
the main girl from it. So it's weird that they didn't do that. It's, like, lost to history, but we're bringing it back. So then they're, like, hanging out, and they realize they need to replace Samantha, the lead girl.
So mean. I felt so bad for her. They're like, okay, we need someone who can dance. We need, like, a triple threat. Like, we need it all.
Also, this movie, so the past run that we've been doing of DCOMs has mostly been about, like, obviously they're all aimed at tweens, but most of them have been about tweens. Mm-hmm. And this is a movie about, like, teenagers.
Because they can drive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, as soon as he stepped out of that car, I was like, oh, yeah, they're 16. Like, they're doing real teens. They're able to get. So, like, I do feel bad for her because she's, like, complex enough.
I totally feel bad for her. Yeah. So then Roscoe's having dinner with his dad. So Disney trope. There's no mom.
Yeah, I realized someone brings the food, wasn't a mom, was a maid.
It was
weird element. It was always awkward when the maid came into
the room.
It
was really weird. And, like, she's just, like, this older maid. And, yeah, they never explain why there's no mom. They're just like, yep, there is no mom.
Yep.
So, done. That's
the trope. His dad's a bit
Dilfy.
Yeah, like, he had the kids. You know, 2011. Yeah. I was into this dad.
Yeah. And the dad asks Roscoe, he's like, hey, is there anything going on between you and Sam? And Roscoe's like, no, she can get so moody sometimes. And I was like, # everyday misogyny.
This movie is all about that. Roscoe was like a real anti-hero. He is like consistently
I hate him. He's not a good
shady to Samantha, creepy to Loretta.
Oh my God. Anyway, so he thinks he's having this conversation, then he starts talking to his dad, but then he's, like, talking, blah, blah, blah. Sam can get so moody. And then we realize his dad is actually on his hands-free Bluetooth wireless device.
He's been talking
at
business.
At the dinner table.
Because Roscoe said, like, yeah, she could be so moody. And he was like, oh, ship her off to China
yeah.
or something.
And this is where I wrote, this is the fastest paced movie ever, just because so much is happening.
It's the Bluetooth age.
It,
like,
really is.
This movie means business.
It's
always going.
But this is where we get kind of the sense that he might actually have feelings for Sam.
Yeah, but they're very conflicted feelings. But then he comes up with the idea.
He has an epiphany.
And it's, like, just very casual. It's like, oh, I'll spend, like, one evening programming a full human AI with, like, that could pass a Turing test, that could, like, dance around a room.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes about designing, like, his perfect girl from magazines and from CDs.
Yeah, so he takes, like, every cultural medium he owns, like music and movies and everything, and carefully allots percentage values to the features of each girl that he wants to use for his dream girl, who's like the band member or leader person. And he's like, oh, 4% of her eyebrows, 10% of her ears, like 13% of whatever. And it's like, that's weird.
Oh, it's like,
it's implied that, like, he is designing everything perfect. Like, oh, this girl's boobs, I want them just like this shape. It's like, this is so uncomfortable to
yeah,
think about.
It's really gross. And most Disney movies, their message about creativity is like, this is how you express yourself and show the world that you're a star. And this is like, this guy is a fucking full-on Dr. Frankenstein creepy freak.
Yeah.
And he's doing it down to, like, people's shoulders.
Yeah. So
anyway.
He creates this perfect woman. And so now we cut to Sam's house and we see that they're having auditions for a new band member and they're going horribly wrong. Classic bad auditions montage.
Classic. Like, High School Musical obviously high watermark.
Yeah.
but it's super fun here. We have someone doing edgy slam poetry that looks like she came off the back lot of auditions for Matilda the Musical. Like, we've got, like, a girl in overalls singing a banjo or whatever. We have, like, a member of Bewitched doing a river dance.
Yes.
Like, they have everyone there. And then suddenly when they feel like, oh, like, everyone's a freak.
I just feel bad that they're trying to impress a pedophile.
Yeah, like, that's a weird element. Even if they had made the... How could we... If it was just the record executive, if it wasn't even... We didn't need the sleazy club manager, like, aspect. It could have just been, like, a record executive is looking for new teen
bands.
Yeah,
we didn't need any of this.
And the record executive, like... could have been a woman and it would have been like 80% less creepy.
Yeah. Anyway. So they don't have anyone. They can't find anybody. And Cindy, the drummer, asks, so what do we do now? Sweet 16s and bar mitzvahs, because that's all we get. Like, huh. And I was like, excuse you. Those are great gigs and you should be thankful.
Yeah.
You're a band full of 16-year-olds.
Those, like, pay... Bar mitzvahs, like, get
great
well.
Tips. Great tips.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so, then Roscoe is like, well, actually,
I have
someone
for a little
you.
Laptop and someone shows
just
up,
away.
A new person.
And it is... How do we describe the hologram that is Loretta?
Oh,
Loretta
how do you
Modern?
Describe a beam of sun?
So it's this tall, skinny, blonde girl, but like Scandinavian blonde.
Right.
Not like American blonde.
No, no, no. It's like the pale, brittle white.
Wearing the most 2002 outfits you've ever seen
She's
in your life.
She's rocking every 2000s style.
You know what this reminded me of? You know what Loretta really gave me vibes of?
What?
You know the band Play that sings Us Against the World? Can we play some Play here?
Yep.
Okay, that song. Everyone go look at the music video to Play Up Against the World. They're all just mini Loretta Moderns.
Yep. Also, just like Loretta Modern, look. Well, I was watching her perform her number, and I'm like, oh, she's starting with a headstand, moving in display. Like when you start with a headstand,
yeah, she's
like, you know that you mean business.
Yeah. So she's like, not even. She took the dancing thing a little too far because it's like she's not really a band front woman. She's just doing ponies and like backflips and like. Just, like, the most intense jazz dancing you've ever seen
pointing,
in your life.
Pointing, spreading, like, gesture, like, it's more, just...
When you say spreading, like, you mean spreading. She starts every routine with a full spread eagle in the air.
And she is splitting, kicking the leg into the air, kind of rolling back into another split, getting the microphone up here. And I was just watching this and being like, before she announced her name, I was like, oh, this is full. Like, I'm transitioning out of being on a cruise ship with no internet and only 5 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was thinking, like, this is classic Drag Race. Like,
right.
She's going to make it into Final 5. And then I hear the name Loretta Modern. And I'm like,
done.
Oh, girl.
Like, done. Yeah, so Phil announces that she's a hologram that he created, and everyone's like, oh, cool, makes sense.
That's normal.
And it's like, here's the thing. We don't really know what, if this could be a dystopian reality, like this movie, for all we know, but we don't really know the world's problems, and we don't know how holographic technology is being used. Everyone thinks it's really new and cool, which leads me to believe that this amazing... world-renowned technology is only being used right now in the world, in Colorado, to create a front woman for a 16-year-old band.
You know, in real life, this would be number one use military. So I have to say, like, it's kind of nice that this is a world in which they have the world's fucking most batshit impressive technology. It's using, I quote, the computer uses echolocation to measure the room and pulsing frequencies to hold her pattern. That's insane!
That's crazy!
Imagine what you could do with that!
And it's like, this is what they're using it for, so that Roscoe can get a boner watching the Zetabytes perform.
So it's established that his dad can't know he's using the tech for this, and there's a scene where his dad walks in, and so he makes it just like he's just designing a hand.
Right.
Like an arm. And the dad's impressed and wants to help, and he's like, oh no. And I'm thinking, like, if my genius son was just designing a fucking hologram arm, like, I know that he's just designing, like, a weird cyber arm to jack himself off. Like,
it's just... And what's weird about this movie is that they don't shy away from those really creepy implications.
I mean,
like, they actually, like, acknowledge them sometimes. So, like, no, they didn't say, like, oh, this is my arm to jack off. But it's acknowledged that Roscoe chose the perfect combination of women and that this is his perfect girl and that he's falling in love with her. Like, they don't shy away from that. And that's what makes this movie so fucking weird.
The emotions are, like, creepy and complex. And if there are two things that DCOMs, like, you... Creepy sometimes, but, like, the emotional landscapes of Disney Channel original movies are... rarely complex. That's one of the things I love about them. They, like, lay it out, you get everything you want.
Yes.
It's simple. This was asking questions that are, like, kind of gonna be haunting me a little.
Absolutely. And so Roscoe's like, hey, I got you guys a gig at the school dance. And they're like, oh, aren't the infectious measles playing?
Okay, so now that's count two of, like, ridiculous band. Oh, because are we counting Zetabytes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the infectious measles are playing the dance, but also the Zetabytes get a slot, and they start playing, and obviously Loretta starts off with her intense vagina dancing. It's just so weird. And she's, like, playing, and everyone starts to be like, okay, yeah, I can get into this, yeah. All of a sudden, the audience is wild for the Zetabytes, and then Loretta just does a double black backflip, and it's like, okay, way to be subtle about your hologramness, Roscoe.
Fully, basically flying.
She does, I think, 5 backflips. This is, and it's also so sexy.
It's like, but also, like, it's a bit too creepy to be sexy, because she has this wide plastered smile, and she's just, the gestures are so extreme. It reminded me of, like, have you ever seen, and not that this is sexy because it's the opposite, but have you ever seen those videos of girls who, like, pretend to be horses and, like, jump hurdles? I was thinking, like, this is that sort of, like, movement and athleticism that I'm, like, really weirded out watching it. Like, she could thrive at that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's just so weird. And it makes me sad that, like, the hottest girl possible in, like, everybody's eyes in this movie is just this tall, blonde, Swedish girl. It's like, they didn't shy away. Like, yep, this is the beauty standard. That's what it is.
It's disappointing. Especially because, like, all these nice tween girls. And no, but, like, the Zetabytes are all, like,
yeah,
cute and cool.
Absolutely.
But they're too real.
Yeah. And so we see the shot cuts to Sam, and we see that she's, like, kind of upset because they're getting super success, but it's not authentic. Maybe because it's super obvious that they're lip syncing.
Yeah,
so bad. Again, to the 40-year-old woman's voice.
Yeah, I do want to look up, like, the studio musicians. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sam's not happy about this. And then...
Meanwhile, Roscoe's doing a scary photo shoot, or did I miss something?
No, that's it. That's the next thing, because this movie's so fast-paced. So Roscoe's doing a photo shoot of Loretta.
Super creepy.
To kind of do, like, a tech experiment, like, if she can show up in photos. Spoiler alert, she can't.
Nope.
And he asks her to pose like she's in love. And then she does this, like, little face of, like, ah. And all of a sudden, bam, Roscoe's face...
That's all it took. He's in love with a hologram.
He is in love with a fucking hologram.
He has designed her so perfectly to his creepy, like, needs and wants and dreams that even though he's the one who, like, put her together, he is fooled and convinced by what she's selling.
Also, he tells her that he's trying to bottle perfection within her. And
oh my God.
Everything about this and everything about his relationship with Loretta... Did it not give you, like, really creepy daddy vibes?
Well, at one point, one of them's like, oh, Roscoe's, like, her mom. One of the bandmates said that, and I'm like, yeah. Like, I guess they're trying to play that off casually, because if you literally said he's, like, her, like, weird dad, like, yeah, he is her creator. And
it has daddy vibes where he's like, you have to do everything I say, and blah, 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 and you have to do this, and I'm in control of you, but also, I love you. Like, I am in love with you.
Also, that moment of when she's like, what is my purpose in life? Which, okay, heavy. But then she asks, like, the human, what is your purpose in life? Like, scary.
So scary.
I don't know.
Anyway, so the show was a big success. Back at school.
Sorry, very into falling apart. I'm not the perfect girl.
So next day, we're back at school, and Roscoe's friend comes up and he's like, yo, listen, you have got to set me up on a date with that girl, Loretta. Like, who is she? Gotta date her. And he's like, no, she can't. And then this friend is like, oh, well, if you do this for me, I'll tell my mom, who's the president of Skygraph, to, like, promote your dad or something.
Yeah, so he's in this kind of blackmail situation where he needs to help his dad keep his job by
because his friends can convince his mom to... Okay, whatever.
I don't know. Like, this also, like, feels very... It's weird that it's Colorado because it seems so rooted in a very specific, like, Palo Alto, Silicon Valley high school experience that, like, no one could relate to. They're, like, the rich children of geniuses. Yeah.
Okay, so he's like, fine. So he sets up a double date,
and he brings Samantha along with it to be a good sport.
To be
She's
nice,
not
because
happy about it.
She clearly has the hots for Roscoe, and every time something happens where she likes him, I'm like, girl, why? He's the worst. He treats you like shit and is in love with a hologram who looks like like a Swedish model.
So they're on this date in a diner.
She starts malfunctioning
because I don't know why.
Because holograms.
Oh, because the canister rolls away. The canister is kind of like her Pokeball. Like, she goes to sleep in there. And if it's too far away, then she starts to act basically drunk. But then she starts to act, like, basically surrealist and a nightmare.
Like, her lips pop out and then she has, like, five eyes.
She had, like, a CGI face and the lips were talking to each other.
Amazing animation in the scene.
For the time and for the assumed budget, like, really incredible, but also, like, full nightmare fuel Salvador Dali, like, did not want.
Yes. So this just made me realize that I hate Phil, because he's just using this technology completely selfishly so that he can go out with his hot girl.
Yeah.
So anyway, she fixes her malfunctioning, and Phil's like, okay, Sam, you've got to take care of her for a bit, because my dad's, like, really onto this.
And Samantha's mad about it. She doesn't want to babysit her. And
they get into a fight. Her and Loretta get into the funniest fight ever. Which, okay, so she's like
getting mad because I'm perfect.
She's mad because I'm perfect. And she's, like, doing math and Loretta's correcting her math. And she's like, I need to learn it, not you. And then Loretta's like, but I'm perfect. And this was the funniest thing where she was like, Loretta, you can read about babies, but do you really know what it's like to hold one? You can do this, but do you really know what it's like to feel? And was this not the exact same speech that Robin Williams gives Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting?
Whoa.
The exact same speech that, like, you can read a book about love, but do you really know what it's like to feel it? Like, I honestly think they just chopped that up and used it in Pixel Perfect Land.
I mean, they're both about kind of like boy geniuses. I could see that happening. Samantha's like our generation's Robin Williams.
God bless.
Also, Loretta gets in a dig being like, maybe you got a few more pounds than you really need, which is like, cat.
Excuse you. Also, how the fact that that means that Roscoe programmed her to be like a body conscious, like,
right, because it's been established, a lot throughout this movie that, like, Loretta doesn't learn through trying and failing. She just immediately downloads knowledge. Mm-hmm. So even though they say things like she has to practice her social skills, like, no, she either has something or she doesn't. So
right.
Like, he made her
tell
bitch.
Sam that she needs to lose a few pounds. Sam is beautiful and, like, not chubby. I don't get it.
If anything, Loretta can stand to gain a few pounds.
Yes. So that's
Samantha
ridiculous.
Samantha wrote a new song, though, so that's exciting.
And we're treated to it, because it's great.
I loved it.
Which one is this again?
This is the one.
Is this, I could change my head. Notice Me? Is this Notice Me?
Yeah, if I change my head,
would you notice me?
Yeah.
Such a good one.
Really good.
Their lip syncing is shit as per huge.
And we get, like, surprise bitch, crossfade into, like, the polished, perfect Loretta version.
Yep, and so they're performing this for the pedophile club owner at the club. Ugh. And he's so turned on by Loretta's vagina dancing. So that's that.
He's really getting very excited.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sam stops by Roscoe's house after this performance to drop something off. I'm unclear on what she was doing
Did
there.
You notice, like, the scary fucking screensaver?
What was it?
She's walking into a house and there's a voice going, "Save me, please."
Oh, yeah.
"Save me, please." And I was like, oh, something. Don't go inside that house, Samantha.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, a creepy screensaver with, like, Ricky Ullman's face on a spider. I guess they had, like, an extra, like, $36 and change in their budget, and they were like, okay, add an unnecessary segment. But anyway, yes. She discovers the creepy...
She discovers Roscoe's, like, notes of which women he picked to be certain percentages of Loretta, and she finds a picture of her, and it says 4% on it, and she's like, wait, what the fuck?
So, like, he doesn't think Samantha's a 4. He thinks she's a 0.4.
He thinks she's 0.04.
Yeah. Oh,
anyway, so then she confronts him.
At amateur night.
Yeah.
So amateur night is actually, like, the fucking Oscars, because there's limousines, red carpet, paparazzi media.
Yeah, so the big thing about what Loretta got them was a chance to perform at this amateur night at the weird tiki club, and the pedophile club owner is friends with this hot shot record producer who shows up to this in a limo. Okay. What's his name again?
Daryl Phibbs.
Daryl Phibbs. And he, like, sits in a private booth. Anyway, so they're at this, like, at this thing, and Sam confronts Ricky Ullman, and she's like, which part of me did you use to make Loretta? And he was like, your ears. And we're like, okay.
That is crushing.
He only thinks she's attractive because of her ears, but he only wants 4% of them. Like, that's just
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I am a man of very specific taste.
Yeah, so they perform their song, and then obviously Loretta begins her twerking on the floor.
It's especially extra.
And she starts to malfunction, and everybody realizes that she's not real.
So there's that moment of, like...
But then they're like, yeah! They're just like, oh, true, cool, we've just been duped by a... If I can, oh my god, you know what this just reminded me of?
What?
You know in Arthur, that episode with the holographic Binky, the band Binky?
This movie stole from Binky!
And every time someone's like, Binky, and Binky Barnes is like, yeah, and they're like, not Binky, Binky!
Owee, 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 owee.
That was their whole song. I'm actually crying right now. Just there. Oh, I think tears are fine. I can't. Anyway, so everyone's like, yeah, cool, they're holograms.
And then Daryl Phibbs is convinced, and he gives a call to
some important sir record guy.
He's like, you gotta listen to this. And holds out, you just hear the teens going, Loretta! Which, can we just say, Loretta as a name? Like, Loretta?
It's just like, I just wouldn't think he would call her that.
No, he would have called her, like...
Carly with two eyes and a star.
Yeah, that's better. I was gonna say, like, Clementine, but nope.
Or, like, yeah.
So then we get a montage.
Jamie with a Y.
Yeah.
And two E's.
We get a montage of their fame.
Yes. So all of a sudden, this means that the record producer, like, picked them up. We get a montage of their fame. And Loretta, an interviewer, is sitting her down. Because, okay. And they ask her, Loretta, where do you get all these amazing fashions? And she answers, I download them. Don't you? And they're all like, ha ha ha.
This movie is like a fucking digital fantasy. I was loving its aesthetic. I like love the utopia it shows where everyone's just like, I'm gonna go for a walk in the virtual mall. Like,
it's just so weird.
Awesome. And they're on like a talk show called Talk at one point.
And there's this like kind of like The View panel that they showed, like, arguing about it. Like, one person being like, it's not real. We shouldn't be promoting this fake talent.
And he calls it unwholesome.
Yeah, it is. And then the other person's like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just music. And it's just so funny.
Yeah, I really loved, like, that extra glimpse.
I wonder if the guy that she went on a date with at the beginning of the movie is like, wait.
Yeah, now he'd be like, oh.
And, like, no confrontation of Roscoe, like, dude, you set me up with your hologram.
Everyone in general is, like, seriously unfazed by, like...
Yeah, it's really not normal.
Like, I have questions, like, how does she sing? Like, that's not what a hologram can do.
It's true. I have a lot of questions, yeah. And anytime she's not alive, she just is kept back in Roscoe's little, like, canister thingy.
Yeah.
So he's like, bye, and she goes back to the canister.
It raises a lot of questions.
Like what?
Like, does she have a little house in there? Yeah. I don't know. I guess no questions at all.
So people are wearing t-shirts with Loretta's face on it.
Yeah.
And Sam, you can see during this montage, is, like, annoyed each time.
Oh, it's getting worse and worse. And it ends with them in the recording studio laying down their track.
And Loretta's outfit is that of the classic. And we saw this in Cadet Kelly. She's wearing the classic 2002 outfit that's, like, vaguely oriental.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I have to say oriental because it's not even of anything specific. It's like what American fashion was. Like,
the idea of something Eastern.
Yeah. It's just like ridiculous. And you realize now that that was like such a thing. Like the chopsticks in the hair, wearing kimonos, and like just like, okay.
And DCOMs are really some of the biggest offenders. Like it was all over, but.
Yes.
So they're in a recording studio.
Casually with, like, the world's biggest record producer.
Yeah. And he hologram. Wants to replace the rest of the band and just have, like, a generic band backing Loretta. And Loretta walks through the glass to defend the band. She's like, these are my girls.
And I appreciated that. Then we go back. So then they're like, okay, we'll take a break, but I gotta have this single ready. So they're like, okay, break. Then we go back to Roscoe's house and he's having dinner with his dad and he's having a serious conversation. And his dad keeps being like, Loretta's not real. Like, you have to think about how Loretta is not real. And he keeps on defending Loretta, being like, she is real, okay? Like, she's real.
Yeah, he keeps saying, like, she's a person.
And his dad, you can tell, is getting the vibes like, oh, my son's real fucked up. Like,
yeah.
He's attracted to a hologram.
He's so busy on his Bluetooth. And then she comes to Roscoe saying, like, here, I made a song, maybe we could perform it. And it's just lines smashed together from other songs.
And one of them was Smash Mouth All-Star.
This was the era where, like, some element of Smash Mouth had to be included in every movie. It was just the law.
Absolutely. I just like how, while she's in this famous period, everybody is not like, oh, like, can we also use this technology for something useful, Mr. Roscoe's dad? Not like, oh, yeah, cool, 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 holographic rock star, sounds up to par.
Yeah, later on, the dad is, like, so nervous to have a meeting with, like, the record company. It's like, dude, you, like, have, like, this magical hologram company. Like, this isn't how the power would be played out. And so, anyway, he says that...
him and Loretta get into a fight.
Yeah.
She, after that song she writes, he's like, he doesn't like it. And she was like, but I thought you made me perfect. And he's like, well, there's always room for improvement, okay, dick. Mm. And they get into a fight, and then she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, you can't, you're gonna die. So she's like, okay, fine. Goes into the computer and uploads herself
to the net,
question mark.
This is where the movie becomes like
the trippiest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Ever. Not even just in DCOM or not, TV versus movie. Literally, like, some ever. Of the trippiest imagery I've seen. Like, that end of whatever Miracle in Lane 2 of all those wheelchair angels in heaven, like, has that. Nothing on this.
I forgot about that. Okay, so she, by uploading herself, she's all of a sudden, like, in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, unclear where it is. She's lost in cyberspace. It's all like that digital music that we saw in Smart House all the time. Like,
yeah, things are moving fast. They're whipping by. It's information in the World Wide Web.
The information highway. So there's just like this hilarious montage of her in the cybersphere being confused. Mm-hmm. And she meets a friendly
trucker.
A trucker. And then you realize he has his, like, he has this thing on the sides that says search, and you're like, oh shit.
It's a search fucking engine. Search engine. She's hitchhiking with a search engine.
And she keeps asking questions, and he's like, 4,332 matches. And you're like, oh.
And they're like running into pop-ups, like, this is conceptual.
Yeah.
And everyone moves really glitchy. And then she's in the mail room, because like all the email is like in a mail room, and there's these creepy blank
it
figures pushing
so
around.
It is so creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like Inside Out, and it's, where it's like you're imagining something like.
Yeah. It actually is like Inside Out in that way. And it's just funny how all of this is happening in her like offensive, vaguely Asian outfit.
Yeah.
Oh,
because she wanted to go to Tokyo.
She wanted to go to Tokyo for the latest fashions. And so Roscoe's freaking out now in the real world. But also, I should mention that the cybersphere lost part, like, this is a long time. Like, they spend, like, a while of this. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's definitely a big... And I remembered, like, being 10 and being like, oh, the stakes are so high. Like, will she make her way out?
Yeah. So Roscoe is, like, nervous, and he goes to Sam's house, and he's like, Loretta and I got into a fight, and she's gone. And then Sam's like, Roscoe, you're in love with this thing.
Yeah. People keep calling him out, spelling it out to his face.
She literally says, you're in love with her. And he's like, no, I'm not. Anyway,
she reveals, it's okay, she emailed herself to me.
No, we missed something really intense here.
Oh!
Sam,
I can't believe that happened.
Sam repays his douchiness by kissing him?
She kisses him, it's a quick kiss, he responds with kind of confusion and awkwardness.
And doesn't acknowledge it.
Nope.
And that's it. And she's like, oh, okay. And that's that.
Anyway, we've been, like,
wait,
having
girl,
a kiss
what's wrong with
dry
you?
Spell in DCOMs for a while, though. So, like, even though this was the weirdest kiss ever.
I was glad to have it.
Yeah. Like, it was something.
Yeah. So, he basically rejects her. Sam, listen, girl. You gotta get this guy out of your life. He's not good for you. Anyway.
So, he has her back. He's having another conversation over dinner with his dad. And they're talking about the nature of perfection. Which is, like, such an extra scene. And the dad says, you know, I myself, like, dating all these women after your mom passed. Which, because, of course.
Right.
I was also searching for perfection. And then he goes into this whole
What the fuck is wrong with you both?
Look at this glass. Look at how the light, it was full Mufasa, everything the light touches. It's just this very heady speech. But he ends up, I guess, telling his son to learn from his mistakes and say, like, value people, like, not your computer doll.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, which really contrasts to what happens later in the movie. Is what I found. Like, I thought that this meant that the dad was going to become, like, really anti-Roscoe falling in love with Loretta and, like, anyone giving a shit about Loretta.
Yeah, but he ends up sort of cheering it on.
Yeah, he doesn't turn out that way, which is weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Loretta's back, reunited with Roscoe, and they have this really, really weirdly... sexual tension is high.
Yeah, scene. Like just intense. Yes. Very intense scene.
So she asks him, he's like classic her standing in his computer room, and she's like, Roscoe, what's it like to feel? And that question doesn't make sense because she's expressed feelings earlier. Like she
I
was
know,
like, I feel angry.
But then she'll straight up be like, I cannot feel.
Yeah.
Like they don't keep it good. You know, this is like philosophical conversation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that they're sticking to any one idea. They're just getting it all out there in this movie.
And so he's like, what's it like to feel? Well, and then goes into this super thing like, oh, it's like when the sun touches you and you feel and the symphony plays and you hear it and you're blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, okay.
And then he goes, open your eyes. And he's standing right there. He strokes her face so gently. Little pixels are flying away. And then she's like, I don't feel anything.
And he's like, me neither. Like, so mad and surprised.
That was so, like, I was like, oh, he's deep.
Like.
Me neither. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But it's like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, you made this hologram. You're not going to feel her. Anyway. So he gets mad that he can't feel her. And he realizes she's not real.
But
so
then there's
sad.
A nice angsty montage where he's falling in love with Samantha through videos.
Yeah.
So.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
And Sam, meanwhile, is realizing she's trying to become like Loretta. So she's watching old videos of her dancing.
It's very sad.
It's a sad montage. She's trying to watch videos of her dancing and do them. But then she, like, keeps falling over, like, classic klutzy gal.
Classic Sam. So then they're at Harshtone Records.
Harshtone Records is the record company that, the record producer works at.
Mr. Pibb or whatever
his name is. Yeah.
And basically, they find out that this company wants to use the technology of Loretta to make basically these, like, slave computer performers that are pop stars that don't have to be, like, paid or fed. Which, if they are AI that can't feel, fine.
Yeah, that's what I get. I was like, sounds
But then good. It turns into a thing about, like, human rights. And Roscoe's like, no, what about their rights? Also, there's a creepy thing where one of the board people is like, we have the ability to create Lorettas of every ethnicity.
Opportunity.
And then she just goes on to, like, list ethnicities. It's like, we can't.
Asian, African American, blah, blah, blah. We'll hit every demographic.
Super weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they want to buy Loretta because they're like, oh, she's property. And TBH, I think they're right. And Ricky Allman just has this really weird fetish.
But he says, or maybe his dad says, I don't remember, whether Loretta is a person or a program, she deserves to be treated with dignity. And no.
Here is where I wrote in my notes, hashtag save hologram lives.
And then
hologram lives matter. Like, why are people like she has the right to be treated with dignity? Like, okay. And one of them is like, okay, I'll set up a hologram ethics committee immediately.
I love that line. Like, set a hologram ethics committee. So, anyway, it's a very charged boardroom scene, and basically they feel betrayed by D-Fib, the talent scout who's the hotshot producer, for, like, betraying them. And then Roscoe writes, like, a strongly worded letter, and D-Fib changes his mind. No, D-Fib writes a letter to the company saying that he's saving Loretta.
Yeah,
so he's rescuing
and then
her.
He opens Loretta from her little canister,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, girl, you have a choice. You can live a successful life where you perform every day, but you live in this canister and you're the property of people, or you can, like, be free. And he points to his cell phone, like, implying that because he, for some reason, knows that she is able to upload herself.
Everyone knows that. But also, Jackie, we just found our would you rather.
What?
There we go.
Would you rather upload yourself or perform?
I'd rather perform. Yeah, I'd rather be a celeb.
Yeah,
I'd
that's what she like wants. And she says, like,
That's what she was designed to do.
She's like, I want to perform every day. And he's like, okay. Well, anyway, she doesn't care. And then he dramatically quits.
Yeah, so he writes a letter.
Hologram lives matter. Like, he needs to quit.
Yeah, everyone's rallying really around, like, the right things here, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, but they have a show. And Samantha decides to go on as Loretta. She's wearing a blonde wig. And she's like, I can do it. I've learned the choreography. I'm going to come out and do this. Like the Lizzie McGuire movie, but with holographic.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really dark, because she tries to do a flip or something.
Tries to do one of Loretta's, you know, classic, like, quadruple flip. I actually think it's sad, because I think it's just, like, a cartwheel she's trying to do, but...
Yeah. Anyway, it was just a short... Maybe a round-off, like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway. And then she, falls off the stage and hits her head, and it looks like she's dead.
It looks like she's broken her dang spine. No one went to catch her, I guess, because they all thought she was Loretta. The wig is off. Glitter is falling from the sky. Everyone is shocked and shooketh.
Cut to the hospital.
Just cut to fucking hospital.
Sam is in a coma.
In a coma, extreme brain trauma. This gets so scary.
So scary.
And Loretta's back from her trip through the internet.
Because obviously Ricky Allman's a douchebag enough to open the canister of Loretta, even though, like, she's the reason all of this happened, and lets her walk into the room and start asking questions like, what's wrong with her? Blah, blah, blah. And her parents are like, can you fucking not? Anyway, so she's like, oh, I have an idea. She sees that there are wires connected to Sam's brain. It's like, oh, I'll just hop right in. So then she goes to Sam's brain.
And, like, if the internet imagery was jarring enough, the Sam's brain imagery was, like...
I might have nightmares.
Very upsetting.
So it's this cracked, like, desert.
with black sky and clouds, and Samantha is sitting looking straight up like the ring.
Huddled, in fetal position, hair in front of her face, dark-eyed.
And it's all in, like, grayscale.
And Loretta shows up and is like, Sam, Sam, where are you? Ha ha. Sam is like, it's broken. And points to her guitar, which is broken. And yeah. Loretta's like, no worries, I'll fix it. Just with a light graze of the hand, puts her hand over the guitar. The guitar's fixed. Okay, cool.
And we are transported, once Sam plays a chord on it, to her brain becomes
beautiful Taylor Swift fantasy land.
Literally wrote like Tim McGraw Taylor Swift. Yes. Taylor Swift, Windows screensaver beauty.
Literally, if anyone's seen the music video for Taylor Swift's 15, we're in that world.
It's like a gauzy, dewy sun, CGI flowers and butterflies.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're like, oh, everything's good. And then they have this life conversation, like, just Loretta's like, I want to be like you, Sam, because you can make mistakes and learn from them. This is the deepest line. You get to be the dreamer, but all I'll ever be is the dream.
Iconic.
Iconic
line. Iconic.
And Sam's like, TBH, yeah, like.
Yeah, so Sam has come to terms with herself because
she realizes Loretta's not all that.
Yeah, and that, like, she wouldn't want to be that.
Yeah. And then, this is where I thought there was going to be a nice resolution to the movie.
But this is maybe the most fucked up thing that anyone does in the movie.
The world starts to, like, deteriorate, and they're like, what's happening? Oh, must be that there can only be one of us in the brain at once.
Sure, you can't have two souls in one brain. Must be. That's this movie decides that Loretta has a soul.
Right. So, then, Sam wakes up in her hospital bed, walks around, opens her mouth. It's fucking Loretta's voice.
Loretta has hijacked Sam's brain.
It's so creepy. Then she goes outside. She's like, it's my turn now. I just want to be this. And everyone's like, wait, Loretta, what the fuck?
She's gone full smart house.
Oh my God, it's so creepy. She goes outside. It's raining in her hospital gown. Looks like a crazy person. Just wants to feel the rain. She wants to feel.
Right. The whole movie, she's looked outside and looked at the rain. That famous Colorado rain.
Yeah. So she casually takes her body.
Oh, it's a thunderstorm. Also.
Yeah. And Loretta confronts Roscoe, and she's like, I just did this because I want to feel like, mm-hmm. but I'm perfect, but I think you love Sam because of her imperfections. And Roscoe's like, you're right.
I realized what Loretta is. Gonna trademark this. She's a manic pixel dream girl. Because she was invented to help this guy, like, get his shit together in life.
Yep.
And then she gets struck by lightning and the electricity takes her soul.
Right.
So then Samantha is
back. She's back.
She's back. She's
great.
Fine.
Everyone's fine.
Her in the brain. And it's like totally chill and everyone's okay.
Everyone's okay. And as her as Loretta's body escaped, it kind of gave me Voldemort vibes.
A little bit.
I don't know. Anyway, so all of a sudden Sam is singing alone. And
an acoustic set about Loretta's iconic death.
Yeah. And then, her and Ricky kiss?
Yeah, they kiss.
She says, touching is not the only way to feel.
This time it's a sweet and tender kiss. And it's also played off like it's not their first kiss. Like not their first real kiss. Like, this seemed very like, oh, we've been seeing each other in the week since Loretta's death.
Then is easily the funniest part of the entire movie. So after Sam sings, she's like, oh, to her band. She's like, oh, thanks, guys, for the harmonies. They sounded great. And they were like, I wasn't singing harmony. Were you? No. Were you? No. Then she's like, what was it? Oh. They look, see, a little silhouette of Loretta. Oh, good. It's Loretta's spirit watching over us.
So.
Making sure we have harmony.
Like, singing the harmony out loud from the heavens, which means.
Why,
like,
does every decom have to end so fucking weirdly?
Like, overall, this was a really quality decom, and then it's just this cheesy element, which also throws the whole thing off balance, because it implies that, like, she has a soul, AI gets led into heaven.
And then they say, the Zetabytes have a guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And then the movie just ends. That's it.
It cuts to one of those quick decom credits. It's like, do, 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 do. And it's scrolling really
That's
fast.
It. The Zetabytes have a guardian angel. Done. Fin.
Nothing feels resolved here. We have a very damaged boy in Roscoe who I think needs some, like, real help.
Therapy.
We have a world that has this evil hologram technology that can hijack brains on the loose.
I can't. So that's that. What's your rating for this?
That being
weird...
said, 5 stars. That being said, I loved it.
It's like, so here's the thing. I can't get my, like, hatred for the character and, like, love for the movie get mixed up. Because,
very fair.
Because the characters are fucked up, but that doesn't mean the movie isn't great.
Right. I would almost deem to say it is brave to make so many of the characters so misogynist, awful.
Yeah. Yeah. And pedophiles. Yeah. So you're giving it 5 out of 5?
Like, I
five
am,
out of five Loretta canisters.
A, the songs are straight up some of my favorite from any DCOM, and they, like, don't have the recognition they deserve, and I think they're straight up fun DCOM songs.
Yeah.
All of the aesthetic is, like, vaporwave dream of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to live inside. Like, it's scary, but I want to live in it. And, like, Ricky Allman was, like, my number one guy when I was 10.
Yeah.
Even though he's like, look, he's so horrible in this. But I just remember being like, oh, he looks so good in glasses.
Yeah. So you're
giving,
so...
I'm not ashamed. This okay. is like...
Yeah, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Loretta spread eagles.
Yep.
Because it was great, but it was great and I loved it, but like... plot inconsistencies are everywhere.
It's messy.
It's not a clean film.
For a movie that's obsessed with perfection, like, this does not reach it.
Absolutely. And I think now would be a good time to do this new segment that we're introducing.
Yeah. What should we call it? We didn't think of a clever name in advance.
You're a lot
better at this than I am. Let's call it, instead of IMDb, could it be like URDB? It's not us coming
sure.
up with it. Okay, URDB, in which we read a review.
URDB.
We might workshop yeah. that. Where we read a review from the IMDb page from around the time when the movie was out.
And these are real reviews that people have left on IMDb of praise for the film. So I'm going to read my favorite one right now.
Okay.
This is by Ian Salter. Ian, if you're out there.
Hey.
Okay. Also, I might add, this is one of those comments that has periods just, like, sprinkled throughout sentences where there should not be.
Well, that's just how they did it back then.
Right. This is from January 17th, 2004. This, along with Color of Friendship and True Calling, is a tearjerker. A lot of people on the forum said they didn't have high expectations for this movie. To be honest, neither did I. Then I saw it. I was crying. These are all commas, by the way. All the way till the end. All the cast do a suburb job of bringing their characters to full vivid life. Even Ricky Almond as Roscoe.
Did he say Ricky Almond?
And the songs were beautiful. People really need to get the message of the movie. It's our flaws that make us human. Perfection describes machines and programs. Like Loretta. So take my advice. Watch this movie.
Wow. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah. yeah. Another comment.
Oh, yeah.
Another good comment is, she's not really a main part at all, but my favorite character was Cindy, played by Tiana Gunandi. Not a very important role, but well played. The dances were not extremely good. And like another user mentioned, Loretta's flips were obviously fake.
What?
I know.
What assholes. You mean to say those weren't her real quintuple flips? Oh my god.
That was
I'm
so
taking it at 4 stars. 4 stars.
What a film.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we did that one.
Yeah, I'm glad we took that ride through the information.
What a ride it was. And if you guys want to, speaking of the ride on an information superhighway, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter.
You could ride the search engine too. Yeah.
I wouldn't complain.
Hey, no.
Would you complain? I don't think
so. Uh-uh. And everything's perfection on the internet.
Absolutely. Our Twitter handle is at DCOM Groupies. DCOM
Groupies. That's you know. IES Ian Salter.
Yeah. Also, if you want to send us an email for any reason.
Loretta will deliver it right to us from that creepy mail room.
Yeah, if you want to send us an email, our email is dcomgroupies@gmail.com. We'll take requests.
Yeah.
We say that every week. We've gotten no requests.
Yeah, we're still waiting.
Still waiting, but that's fine. We'll just do whatever we want until then.
Because basically, like, if no one takes any requests, I'm, like, skipping right to my second favorite movie, Halloween Town 3, and that's going to be really confusing considering we haven't covered the first two yet.
So that's what you get. If you don't.
It's an
warning. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was a really fun episode.
Yeah, and next time I see you, it'll be, like, not seeing you.
It'll be, like, Loretta's, like, transporting our voices to each other.
Aw.
Wow, sad times.
Can I bring up one more thing?
Yeah.
How did she see?
Great question.
And
how did
with
she
that,
hear?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did she do anything?
So, basically, we'll see you next time. Something to think about.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.